Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim Daf Lamed Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Melamdai Medrash Halachas VaGodes Avloyim Derem Mikra. The Mishnah taught us that if one may not benefit from someone, the person could teach. If I may not benefit from somebody, the halach is Melamdai, I could learn from him. Medrash Halachas VaGodes, I can learn from Medrash Halachas VaGodes. Avloy Lamed Mikra, I can't learn from him Chumash. Ask the Gemara. Mikra my tam loy lamdeno. The Gemara obviously understands our Mishnah is referring to a situation to someone who's teaching free of charge. So I am saving the tuition I would have otherwise paid. And that's why the Gemara understands. Mikra my tam lo yom dena. Why may I not learn chumash? I'm benefiting that I'm not going to have to pay the tuition that I would normally have to pay to this individual who I'm learning from. So most Rishonim learn that if I am paying tuition, as we will learn in the shiur, under the circumstances that tuition may be paid, there I would be allowed to learn from him Chumash. However, there are Rishonim that learn that even if I am paying tuition, I would not be allowed to learn from this individual. And the Proshas Terachim explains that that's the opinion of the Rambam. And he explains the reason being because Loi Mikol Adam Zoichem Lilmoid, we're not always able to learn from every Rebbe. Certain Rebbeim, we have more Hatzlocha, more success to learn from. So perhaps this is the person I would specifically have a Hatzlocha and learning from versus anyone else. And therefore, even for pay, says the Parashas Terachim, I may not learn from that individual. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, so Medrash Nami Kamahanalei, I'm also benefiting when I learn Medrash from this person. So why does the Mishnah say that I may learn Medrash and not learn Chumash? Answers the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, B'makom sh'noitlim schar ala mikra, ve'noitlim schar ala medrash. Our Gemara is referring to a place where they used to pay Rebbeim for teaching Chumash, but they did not pay the Rebbeim for teaching Medrash. And as Duran explains, for Medrash, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, one may never get paid. And therefore, if I learn from the person who I may not benefit from Medrash, I'm not receiving for free, I'm not receiving any benefit, because he anyway may not take tuition for teaching me Medrash. Chumash, as we're going to learn in the next Amid, one may receive tuition for under certain circumstances. So in a place where tuition is paid for Mikra, one may not learn Chumash from someone he may not benefit from. But there were places that even though halachically one may receive payment for teaching Chumash, because Chazal were concerned, because in those places there was a concern that if payment will be received for teaching Chumash, one may come to pay payment for other Divrei Torah, which as we're going to learn certainly may not be paid for. Therefore, they prohibited even getting paid for teaching Chumash. In such place, one would be even allowed to learn Chumash. Ask the Gemara, my Pascha. So Pash Peshat, the Gemara's question is, why is there a difference between Chumash and Medrash? That for Chumash, payment may be received, and for Medrash, payment may not be received. Another Peshat in the Gemara is, at this point, the Gemara seems to be learning that it depends on the minig hamakim, on the custom in the place. And the Gemara's question is, and what will be if there'll be a custom in a place that they receive payment for Medrash and not for Chumash? Then the halacha would just be the opposite. So how does our Mishnah make a blanket statement? Says the Gemara, Hakamashmon, our Mishnah is teaching us, even if there's a place where payment is received for teaching Chumash, for teaching Torah, it's only ala mikra shari lemishkol, only for Chumash teaching may one receive payment ala mikra ala medrash shari lemishkol, but one may not receive payment for teaching medrash. Says the Gemara, Maishna medrash tloy. Why may one not receive payment for teaching medrash? Answers the Gemara, the Ksiv. Because Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, Voisi tziva Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me at that time, Beisahi l'lamed eschem. The Ksiv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded me to teach Klal Yisrael Torah. The Ksiv, and it says in the Pasuk, Rirei l'marati eschem, Chukim u'mishpotim, Kasha tzivani Hashem. I taught you Torah as HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me. Ma'ani b'chinam? Just like I taught you Torah for free, so too must all Rabbeim in the future of Klal Yisrael teach their Talmidim for free. And there's a fundamental machloikis rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. The Ran and Tosfos learn that's referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael, just like I taught you Torah for free, so too should all future Rabbeim teach the Talmidim Torah for free. How do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klal Yisrael Torah for free? So the Tosfos learns it makes sense to say there's no basis to believe that Moshe Rabbeinu requested payment for teaching Klal Yisrael Torah. However, the Ran says that is exactly, this is the way the Mashor explains the Ran, this is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant, what Moshe Rabbeinu says when he says, Kasha Tzivani, Voice Tziva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically commanded Moshe Rabbeinu to teach Klal Yisrael Torah and not to take any remuneration for teaching them Torah. The Rosh, however, explains, Ma'ani b'chinam af atem nami b'chinam, refers not to Moshe Rabbeinu, but refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu Torah for free. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't pay him. Similarly, Moshe Rabbeinu says, when we teach Klal Yisrael Torah, we have to follow the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu acted and teach Torah for free. So says the Ran. So how could we have that Rabbeim get paid? So the Ran says, they get paid for Schar B'Teila. Schar B'Teila means that in that time, these Rabbeim could have done something else, and that time they spend teaching Torah, they're getting paid for Schar B'Teila, but they're not getting paid for the teaching of Torah. And in fact, Rav Moshe has a number of tshuvas that teach us that the payment of Rabbeim is different, and the act and the worker act, viewing them as employees is different than one views the regular employee because of the concepts that we've just learned. One tshuva Rav Moshe discusses, Rabbeim who come late to yeshiva to teach, and the Rebbe is approached by the administration of the yeshiva, why are you coming to late? And the Rebbe says, I don't really get paid that well in the first place, that I should have to follow such strong work rules. So says Rav Moshe, really the Rebbe is not supposed to get paid at all. Ma'ani b'chinam, af atem b'chinam. So he should be teaching Torah with different concepts and with different work conditions. And he certainly is obligated to come to teach Torah on time, no matter what his pay is. Similarly, Rav Moshe has a tshuva, if Rabbeim in a yeshiva may strike for if they didn't get paid or if they want better wages. And Rav Moshe suggests that it's not really clear if the latter strike. Our Gemara teaches us that they're really supposed to teach Torah for free. Even this, that they do get paid, it's only, as the Ran just taught us, because of Schar B'Teila. And Rav Moshe is not quite sure if he should or should not allow Rabbeim to strike. One interesting thing he says is certainly even if Rabbeim may go on strike in a different work condition, he says workers could force their co-workers to go on strike, that it should be a unified front all going on strike. Says Rav Moshe, certainly in the situation of Rabbeim, if there's a Rebbe who refuses to go on strike, the other Rabbeim certainly cannot and should not force him to strike. The Mefarshim explain why Taka did HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach us Ma Ani Bechinam Af Atom Bechinam. So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is we're going to learn a mitzvah Shem in the Shia tomorrow that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know Moshe Rabbeinu was in Har Sinai, was up in Shemayim for 40 days and 40 nights learning Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu was learning the Torah u'meshachoy, he was forgetting the Torah until HaKadosh Baruch Hu nosno loy b'matano, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to him as a gift. So we see that in order to have hatzlacha, success in remembering the Torah we learn, it has to be b'chinom, that it has to be for free. That's one of the ways that we're successful in learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Another pshat I saw is based on what the Chovas Halvavas says. The Chovas Halvavas, in describing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, says a very interesting concept. He says, whatever is more necessary for one to be able to exist in the world is more available. He says, what's the item that's most necessary to live? Ear. So he says, ear is available everywhere, and ear is available for free, because it's the most necessary item. The second most necessary element that's required to survive is water. And that's why there's such an abundance of water in the world. Most of the world is actually water, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognized we need water. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, so says the Chovas Halvavas, we go further and further. If you go into a store, to a grocery store, he says, the items that are more necessary, the items which are staple items, are typically less expensive than the luxury items. HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically created the world that way, that the items that are necessary should be more available. Say to Mefarshim, what is the most necessary element we need for our ruchnius well-being? Torah. So Torah is bechinam. Torah is like ear. Just like ear is available and it's for free, so should be limud haTorah. So there's a machlokes hapoiskim on whom is the iser to take payment for learning. The Rosh says the iser is on the melamed. The Rebbe may not take pay for teaching Torah. The Rambam says that the iser is on the Talmud. The Talmud is not supposed to pay for learning Torah. So I saw the Panovich Rav asks, even if we'll say that the iser is on the Rebbe is not allowed to take pay for teaching Torah, asked the Panovich Rav, so the Talmud who gives the Rebbe pay is over lifnei iver loisita michshol when he pays the Rebbe for teaching him Torah. Says the Panovich Rav, that if we say that the iser is on the Rebbe to take pay, he says the iser is not taking pay. There's an obligation to teach Torah for free. The Rebbe who takes pay is violating that obligation. But it's not an iser to receive money, that if the Talmud gives money, he's participating in something being done wrong. So ask the Gemara, if we're saying that Divrei Torah have to be taught for free, so we go back to the beginning of our shir, why does the Rebbe sometimes get paid for teaching Chumash? Mikra nami bechinam, teaching Chumash should also be for free. So answers the Gemara, Rav Omar Schar Shimur. When a Rebbe receives payment for teaching Chumash, he's not getting paid for teaching Torah, he's getting paid for watching the Talmidim. And therefore, as the Rishonim explain, and will become evident in the Gemara, It's only by young Talmidim that there would be a heter to take pay. Tosfos says that the age is 10 years old. Other Rishonim say that it's difficult to make a specific age. It depends on the situation of the Talmidim. Sometimes even Talmidim who are older do need watching, and there would still be a Schar Shimur. But it's only in Talmidim that need to be watched that a Rebbe maybe take pay for Chumash, and therefore it's only Chumash which is typically taught to young Talmidim where there's a concept of Schar Shimur. The other Limudim, which are only taught to older Talmidim where there is no longer any Schar Shimur, may not receive payment. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Schar Pisuk Tamim. The Rebbe doesn't get paid for teaching Chumash. He gets paid for teaching them the Tamim, the Tamay Akro, the Trop, how we lain, how we read the Torah, which according to the Ran is not considered Doraisa. It's only considered Midrabanan, and therefore one may receive payment for it. Even though the Ran says that it's Drabanan, the Rishonim explain that doesn't mean that if somebody teaches Talmidim something that's midrabanan, if somebody teaches Talmidim Shulchan Aruch or other svarim that was certainly written not midaraisa, one would be allowed to receive pay. Because even though their rabbanan, their works that were written midrabanan, still the purpose of those works, of those svarim, is to explain what it says in the Torah. However, when one is teaching Talmidim Tamen, which is purely midrabanan and is not here to teach, help us understand the Torah, there one may receive pay. The Torah Tamima explains that the reason one can receive pay for teaching them the Tamim is because this is not really learning Torah. Tamim just help us understand how to help us learn. It's a learning aid, but it's not actually Divrei Torah themselves. I saw a vart from Rav Shach. We say in the Zmiris Friday night, in the Zmiris of Mayadidus, V'tinayk l'lamdoi Sefer l'amnatzeh b'mginois. We say in the Zmiris that on Shabbos, even though Chavetzecha Asurim, we're not allowed to do business activities, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem later in our Shir. However, to engage a Rebbe, the sinig lalamdoi, that the Rebbe should teach the Talmud sefer lamnatzeh ben ginois, is permitted. Why are we picking out lamnatzeh ben ginois? But according to our Gemara, that the only limud that a Rebbe may get paid for is for teaching the Tamim lamnatzeh ben ginois, negino. Only for the negino of Torah may a Rebbe get paid, and may I engage a Rebbe. For anything else, we may not engage to pay a Rebbe for teaching Torah. Ask the Gemara on Rav's opinion that a Rebbe may be paid for Schar Shimur. Ask the Gemara Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Lo Yumdanam Mikra. If I'm not allowed to benefit from someone, I'm not allowed to learn Chumash. Says the Gemara, Bishla, I may not learn Chumash. Bishla Lamandama Schar Pisuk Tamim. According to the explanation, it means teaching them the Tamim. That's why I may not learn from him. Because as we just learned, one may receive payment for Pisuk Tamim. And therefore, I'm benefiting when I learn from this person who I may not benefit from for free Pisuk Tamim without paying for him. Elamanda Omer Schar Shimur, that the only time one may pay a Rebbe is when the Rebbe is watching the Talmidim, Godel Bar Shimur Hu. Our Mishnah is referring to all sorts of individuals, even an adult. An adult doesn't need watching, so adult is not allowed to pay a Rebbe even to learn Chumash. So why does the Mishnah says Lo Yom Deno Mikra? Answers the Gemara, Bekotn Ktani. Our Mishnah is referring with a Talmud is a child, and therefore the child is not allowed to learn from the Rebbe Chumash because that for free, because that's something that one gets paid for. And as the Ran explains, even though if we're referring to a child, so there's no issa of la yachal dvoroi by children, he's still a child. Still, says the Ran, that we're not allowed to give a child something that's usur, just like we know we're not allowed to give a child food that's not kosher. Similarly, if the child is the subject of the neder, that he's not allowed to learn from this person, he's not allowed to benefit from that person, so he may not learn chumash from that person, because he's actively causing the child to enjoy something, to benefit from something that he's not allowed to benefit from. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, if we're explaining that our Mishnah is referring to a child, we're not allowed to teach the person who's not allowed to benefit from this person, but we're allowed to teach his children. But if the Mishnah is referring to children of this person, if the Mishnah is referring to a child, katan bar bonimu, can a child have children? Answers the Gemara, Chsuri Mechzvachtani. The way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. Lo yidena mikra, the katan. A katan is not allowed to learn chumash from this Rebbe, because he's benefiting from him, and he's not in a case where there's an issur neder not to benefit from this individual. Avol imhayu gadol, and if the person who was the subject of the neder, that he's not allowed to benefit from the Rebbe, was a gadol, so the gadol is certainly allowed to learn from him, because there's no schar, there's no payment, so he's not benefiting. And furthermore, melamed loyal b'adam mikra, so he could learn, and his children could learn, because his children are not part of the neder. Meisvei asked the Gemara, and in introducing this Gemara, we review what we've learned, that on Shabbos, there's a halacha of schar Shabbos. One may not receive payment for doing work on Shabbos, even if the work that he's doing is permissible work, work that's mutter to be done on Shabbos. So it says in a brisa, Tanoikis loikarim betchil b'Shabbos, Talmidim should not be taught new material on Shabbos, elishayin berishin. They can review, even if they're reviewing it for the first time, what they had learned previously during the week. Says the Gemara, Bishlam l'manda omer schar pisuk tamim, according to the manda omer that says that a Rebbe is getting paid for teaching Talmidim pisuk tamim, haynu dein koyim b'tchil b'Shabbos. This brisa could be well understood. Because when a Rebbe is getting paid for teaching Pisuk Tamim, he gets paid for teaching it the first time. He does not get paid for the Chazara. So if these Tamim were taught during the week, that's when the Rebbe earned his wages. On Shabbos, when he's just reviewing the material with the Talmidim, he's not getting paid for that. And therefore there's no Isser for him to teach, and whatever eight wages he gets is fine. Ask the Gemara, however, according to the Manda Omer, that Rebbeim get paid for watching the children, what's the difference if we're learning new material or reviewing old material? The Rebbe is watching the children and is getting paid for watching the children, which involves a concern of Schar Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, Ula Tameich, and according to you, who says that there's a different, that if we're learning about Pisuk Tamim, that's why teaching him new Pisuk Tamim is Schar Shabbos, but teaching him old material, reviewing old material, that he doesn't get paid for, there is no problem. Says the Gemara, and even if we teach new material, why is there a problem? Schar Pisuk B'Shabbos Miyosur, why would it be prohibited to teach Tamim for the first time on Shabbos? Havlohi, it's being, the Rebbe gets paid not for Shabbos alone. He gets paid for the week, for the month, for the year. Vavloh Mishushori, as we're going to learn soon, that even when one may not receive payment for Shabbos, that's only if he gets paid specifically for working on Shabbos. But if he gets paid on a weekly, monthly, yearly basis, there is no Issur Schar Shabbos, as the Mefarshim explained. Because Schar Shabbos is not really Osam Adaraisa. It's only Gzer Drabonon. And only when the person is getting paid specifically for Shabbos does it look like Schar Shabbos. Does it look like Mekach Umemker B'Shabbos and it's prohibited. But if he's getting paid on a weekly, monthly, annual basis, it doesn't look like he's getting paid for working on Shabbos and it's permitted. The Tanya, for we learned in a Braisa, Hasaych as a poil, if somebody hires a worker, Lishmer as a tinok, to watch his children, Lishmer as a poro. As we've learned, the Parah Aduma procedure were done by Tful Yoim, Kohanim who had become Tomei and went to the mikveh that day and did not yet have Harav Shemesh. But in order to show that there was no laxity in being careful who should be the people preparing the Parah Aduma, Chazal were careful that only children who never became Tomei, they were born and raised in a place that there was no Tumah, should be the Kohanim doing the avoid of the Parah Aduma, to watch that these children remain Tor. Or, Lishmas as Roim, to watch the field that was going to be used, from which the Omer, a barley, was to be brought, a carbon Omer, on the second day of Pesach, and they would have a special field that they prepared, and they would have a watchman on the field. Another pshat that I saw is that even though in the Shemitah year, one may not guard his field, he has to leave the door of his field open. However, how will they make sure that no one takes the barley from that field and it won't be available to bring the carbon omer? They had somebody standing at the entrance of that field and during the Shemitah year and telling everyone, we should know that this field is going to be used for omer, and that would prevent people from taking that barley. They should not be paid for working on Shabbos. Lefikach im avdu, if something happens while they're watching on Shabbos, en chai bechriyusim. We know there's a difference between a shomer sachar and a shomer chinam. A shomer who's not getting paid, is not chayiv in gneiva v'aveda. A shomer sachar is chayiv b'gneiva v'aveda. Since these watchmen may not get paid for working on Shabbos, they remain Shomrei Chinam, and the Nat Chai for Gneva Aveda. However, says the Braisa, V'mhoyu Schir Shabbos, if they're being paid by the week, Schir Chodesh by the month, Schir Shana by the year, Schir Shvuah by 7 year period, Nois Nois Chai Shabbos, they can get paid by Avlo, Lefikach Emavdu, so therefore, since they are getting paid for Shabbos, because they're getting paid by Avlo, if something should happen, the Shomrei Socher, if a Veda would happen, and Chai Bechri Yusan. So even according to Rabbi Yochanan, we need to understand why may we only review material with Talmidim and Shabbos and not teach them something new. The Shulchan Aruch says that even though we've just learned the din of Schar Shabbos, if one is doing a mitzvah, he may receive Schar Shabbos. And that's the basis why people who work on Shabbos, Balei Tefillah, Balei Kriya, take wages, because it's a Dvar Mitzvah. Ask the Taz, that our Gemara just taught us that these people who were doing Dvar Mitzvah, they were the watchmen of the Parah Aduma Kohanim, they were the watchmen of the field for the Omer, so they're doing a Dvar Mitzvah, and yet the Braisa says they may not take Schar Shabbos. So the Taz answers, only a mitzvah which is connected to Shabbos may they receive payment for. About tefillah, about koirei, it's a Shabbos digger avoider. And especially since that work can't be done during the week. That's why these individuals may take Schar Shabbos. But if it's not a work related specifically to Shabbos, where it can be done by Havlo, as these people who watch the fields, they don't have to get paid specifically for Shabbos, their Havlo should be done. There is a minig, in fact, that's why the Balei Tefillah of the Yom HaNeroim, the Bal Musaf of the Yom HaNeroim, also daven Tzlichus the first night, a Matzoi Shabbos, which is during the week. So when he gets paid for his services, he's not only getting paid for work on Yontif, he's also getting paid for work on a weekday, on Matzoi Shabbos, and he's getting paid by Havlo. But the Iker Heter, as we said, is that if it's a Dvar Mitzvah, which is related to Shabbos, and can only be done in Shabbos, one can receive payment. That's why I saw a tshuva from Rav Avadya Yosef, that if there's a Mashgiach, a Mashgiach for Kashrus, at a function that takes place on Shabbos, he may receive payment, because he could only do his work on Shabbos. He can't do that job during the week, and we have law is not an option, and it's a dvar mitzvah, schar Shabbos may be paid. But back to our Gemara, the question is, why may only old material be reviewed, not new material learnt on Shabbos? Says the Gemara, El Gab Shabbos, Hana Time Day Karim Betchilo. The reason why new material should not be taught on Shabbos, Mishum the Yifni Avusun the Yanuki Lemitzus in the Shabbos. The fathers want to spend time with the children on Shabbos, and if the children are learning new material, the father won't want the child to miss learning new material. And that's why Chazal said they should not learn new material on Shabbos. Another pshat is that I saw the Shita says that on Shabbos, typically a father is supposed to study with his child, learn with his child, test with his child on what he learned during the week. And however, if in yeshiva they're learning new material on Shabbos, the father won't want the child to miss those studies. And it's important that a father learn with a child on Shabbos. That's why Chazal said that new material should not be taught on Shabbos. Vibay Seima, Mishum de Shabsa Achlam Shabsan. People eat and drink on Shabbos more and better food that they're used to eating during the weekdays. Viyakar Aleim Alma, and they therefore don't feel so well. As Shmuel said, Kram Shmuel, Shini Veset, if somebody changes his eating habits, he won't feel well. So since on Shabbos people eat differently than they eat during the week, so they don't feel so well, so they're not able to concentrate so well, and that's why we don't want new material to be learned. And in fact, the Yavetz and the Sefer Moruk Tzia says, based on this Gemara, that on Shabbos one should learn easier limudim, easier subjects, because as we're learning now, Shabbos people don't necessarily feel so well and they can't learn new limudim. And that's why he says there's the minig of learning Pirkei Avos in the summer months, because he says there's a long Shabbos afternoon in the summer, which certainly should be spent learning Torah, but learning difficult subjects, our Gemara says, is hard. So one should learn in the summer months, Pirkei Avos, something easier to learn and understand. The Michas Elazar says that our Gemara is only referring to children who don't really enjoy learning that much. They have to somewhat be forced to learn. So on Shabbos, since they're also not feeling so well because of the changed eating habits, they should only review material already learned, not learn new material. But adults who enjoy learning Torah and enjoy learning Torah b'iyun, a geshmak of art, learning with a tiefkeit, those that may be done on Shabbos. I saw the Magen Avraham brings down the one on Friday afternoon should eat foods from the Macholei Shabbos. Tomeo chayim zochu, we say in the Zmiris. So I saw, why should we already start eating Shabbos Macholim on Friday afternoon? Because our Gemara teaches us by eating the Shabbos Macholim, one can become sick because he's not accustomed to eating these kind of foods. But if on Friday afternoon he already started eating these foods, so he's already somewhat used to these foods, and therefore they won't adversely affect him on Shabbos. We don't want the Shabbos foods to adversely affect you on Shabbos, so eat already the Shabbos Digim Macholim. Start eating them on Friday afternoon. Ask the Gemara, Ulamanda Omascha Pisuktam. According to the Mandam, it says that in our Mishnah, a person who I'm not allowed to benefit from may not teach me. Scha Pisuktamim. Could that something one receives payment for? Ask the Gemara, my Tamaloy Mascha Shimer. Why didn't he explain the Mishnah that's referring to Scha Shimer? Answers the Gemara, Kasavar Bonus Mikabain Shimer. Our Mishnah was only talking to boys, it was also speaking about girls. Now girls always stay indoors, they don't require shimur, and therefore, says the Gemara, why would girls not be allowed to learn mikra? It must be that the reason is scha pisuktamim. And as I saw from Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, shat in our Gemara is that it's not just that girls Kol kvud basmel pnima. Girls aren't supposed to go outside because of tznius. It's inherent in the nature of girls that they stay indoors, that they don't go outdoors, and therefore don't require shimur. In fact, the Chasam Sofer says that we find women many times do mitzvahs that they're not obligated to do. But one mitzvah that we find that women don't do is the Kiddush Levana. Why? So he said, because women call kfud basmel pnima, women stay indoors, and indoors they don't say that they don't want to go outdoors. With Kiddush Levana, it's supposed to be done outdoors. Ask the Gemara, Ulaman Dom is Scha Shimur. According to Man Dom, the reason is because of Scha Shimur. My Tamalam is Scha Pisuk Tamim. Why didn't he say the reason is Pisuk Tamim? And says the Gemara, Ksava Pisuk Tamim Daraisa. He holds that Pisuk Tamim is Midaraisa. And just like the rest of the Torah that we learned earlier can't be taught for pay, Pisuk Tamim, according to him, is no different. And one may not receive payment for teaching Pisuk Tamim. Damar of Akka Ikabar Ovin Amar of Khanal Amarav, Maidik Siv, Vikar Besefer Taras Lakim, the Pasuk says in Nehemia, Vikar Besefer Taras Lakim, Mefirish, Vesom Seichel, Vivina Bemikra, Vikar Besefer Taras Lakim, Zem Mikra refers to the Chumash, Mefirish refers to the Targum. And as the Gemara Mesech Megillah asks, if the Targum was already there from the beginning, why do we have Targum Unkelus? That Unkelus found the Targum. So Gemara says Masechta Megillah Shachachum. The Targum was forgotten. For Chaz v'Yosdom, it was Unkelus that brought it back. V'Sham Seichel Eila Psukim, where Psukim end and begin. That is very important in helping us understand the Torah. V'Yividu b'Mikra Zeh Pisuk Tamim. This refers to the Pisuk Tamim. V'Emerloi Amelai. Another say Eila HaMesoris. The way words are spelled, sometimes the word is spelled, a word is spelled molei, and sometimes a word is spelled chosen. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Mikra Seifrim, the proper way of pronouncing the words, Vitusvarim, sometimes, Vitusvarim, sometimes we find that, and the Gemara is going to give us examples, that there's an extra word in a pasuk, Vikayim Velaksivim, sometimes we have a word that's written one way, but pronounced the another way, but it's written but not read. All of these are halachal mashma sinai. And the Gemara gives us examples for each thing. Mikra Seifrim, the way to read the words, Eretz. Sometimes we say Eretz, sometimes we say Oretz. To pronounce the word Shamayim, to pronounce the word Mitzrayim, now Mitzrayim, is all Mikra Seifrim. Itta Seifrim, what is Itta Seifrim? So it says in the Pasuk by Avram Avinu, Ve'echopas lechem, v'sadu livchem, achar tavayru. So the word achar is somewhat, is extra. It could have said, v'sadu livchem, v'tavayru. Or the Pasuk says by Rivka, V'yoyma ocher ve'ima teishva nar itonu, yom osur achar teilech. It could have said, v'teilech. Didn't have to say the word achar. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Nekoyim nikmas b'nei Yisrael me'esa m'yonim, Acha te'osef alamecha. It could have just said, V'te'osef alamecha. We don't need the word V'te'osef. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Kidmu sorim acha noignim. It could have said, Kidmu sorim noignim. It didn't have to say the word acha. We could have had first the singers, then the musicians. The Pasuk says, Kikoscha kahare kale. It wouldn't have been enough to say, Tzitkoscha hare kale, which refers to the Malachim, to teach us that the Malachim are, that God's Tzitkis is like Malachim, who are mountains. It doesn't have to say the kahare kale, it could have just said hare kale. What are examples of Karyan v'loik kasvim? It says pros de belachtoi. It says in the pasuk v'yachtov es hadaraza ben rochav melch tzvoi tzoi v'belachto lahoshiv biyad b'nahor pras. The word pras is read, but it doesn't appear in the pasuk. The pasuk says V'tzas achi teufel ashiyot b'yomehim k'sheyeshel ish b'dvar elokim. The word ish is read, but it doesn't say in the pasuk. Gam hine yomim boim nuum Hashem v'nivisoy ish'il Hashem u'migdol chanano. The word boim is a kri and not a ksiv. The pasuk says in Yirmiyo, Hashmiu al-Bavel Rabim kol derche koshes chanu lo soviv ayihi lo pleito. The word law is a kri and not a ksiv. The pasuk says v'yan boyaz v'yom eloi hugad li kol asher sis eschamoseich achri mois isheich. So v'achrimois isheich v'tazvi ovi v'emil imech v'esmo l'tev v'telcha el am ashele yedata t'mol sholsham. There's a word es in the pasuk which is a kriv like siv. The Ran says we don't have it in our Megillus Rus. Then we have the pasuk v'yoyim ele kol ashetoyme elai esa. The word elai is a kriv like siv. V'toymer Sheish hashorim elah nosli ki om elai atovi reikom al maseich. The word elai is a kri v'like siv. All of them are kri v'like siv. Ksiv v'like kriyan. What are example of ksiv but not read? Nor the yislach. The pasuk says l'dov azay yishlach Hashem l'avdecho b'vo adoni beis rimen l'shtach v'sham v'hu nishnal yodi v'shtachavisi beis roiman v'shtachavisi beis roiman yislach no Hashem l'avdecho b'dov azah. The word no appears as a ksiv, but it's not read. There's an interesting shaila l'halocha that if we have a kri in a pasuk, the word is written one way, but it's written read one way and written another way. We know the halacha is that if a Sefer Torah has words covered up, let's say it's covered with wax, the Sefer Torah becomes pasul. What would be the halacha if such a word is covered up? Since we're not reading the word anyway as it's stated, does it disqualify the Sefer Torah? Or if we're not reading as it said anyway, the Sefer Torah will not be pasul. The Prima Gaudim says the Sefer Torah is not pasul. Rav Moshe says that the Sefer Torah is considered pasul and we should not read from such a Sefer Torah. Another interesting machlokes I saw is that we know that if a Baal Kirei reads a word incorrectly, so the Rama says it depends. If the way he read the word changes the meaning of the word should be reread. If it doesn't, it doesn't have to be reread. What will happen if one read the ksiv, not the kri, but there is no difference in meaning between the ksiv and the kri? Is the halacha that there too the word does not have to be reread? Or since this is a ksiv and a kri, if you read it like the ksiv and not like the kri, the word have to be reread? It's machlokes apoiskim. Continues the Gemara in giving us examples of words that are ksiv and not kri. The pasuk says, "Zoyis a mitzvah chuk meshpatim asher tziva Hashem alkeichem lam naschem lasas ba'aretz asher ta'ovim sham l'mishta." So the word zoyis, the Gemara says, is a ksiv and not a kri, but the Ran says our minig is that we do read it. Yidroch da doirich. The pasuk says the word yidroch, and that word too is a ksiv and not a kri. Chamishi de pas hanegev. The pasuk says, the pasuk is in Yecheskel. Ve'el midase pas sofoin chamesh meyos. V'abos alof mas negev chamesh chamesh meyos. The second chamesh is a ksiv and not a kri. Im de kigoyel goyel. All of these are ksiv v'loy kriim. Omer of achbar ada. V'marov v'netzisrol. Paskin ladein psuka. The following pasuk was divided the tlosa psukim into three separate psukim. The pasuk says, "V'yoyim Hashem amoisha, hine elach ba'elach ba'ava onon." That's one pasuk. The next pasuk in Eretz Yisrael was, "Ba'ava yishma am bedabri imach, v'gam b'chay yaminu la'olam." Is the second pasuk, and the third pasuk is, "V'yagim Moshe's divrei amal Hashem." Is the third pasuk. Why were these psukim divided into three psukim in Eretz Yisrael? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is, because as we said earlier, psukim are divided into separate psukim to make it easier to understand. And Eretz Yisrael, they felt it would be easier to understand this pasuk if it was divided into three. Another pshat is that our minig is to read all Chamishi Chumshe Torah, finish all Chamishi Chumshe Torah once a year. We do it annually. In Eretz Yisrael, the minig was to read it over a period of 3 years. So they needed more psukim, so they should be able to divide the Torah into three parts and finish it only once every 3 years. This was an example of a pasuk that was divided into three to lengthen and be able to only finish learning reading the Torah in 3 years, not in 1 year.